last month in October. We interviewed, at her request, a woman named Trish Dickerson, who at the time was saying it had been 3 weeks since her husband disappeared, and the police put out a gold alert. We did an interview with her that is podcast on the Dan Gaffney Show Facebook page, in which she talked about her husband's mental illness and other conditions and was concerned for his safety, and she wanted to find him. And after that interview in October, right around October 27th, Mike Mixon, listener Mike in Georgetown, organized a search. So let's look at these woods. Let's search these woods near where you found the pickup truck. And so they organized a search and went out. Police were there. They didn't find anything. But some unusual things happened over that weekend. And there's been no update. We've asked if Trish would like to give us an update. She has not returned our calls for an on-air interview. But I did get an interesting email last week, and I want to share it with you. It says, "Good evening. I'm writing in response to your October 27th interview with Trish Dickerson. As you know, he was reported missing on October 7th, and a gold alert was issued. On Saturday, October 30th, a search was held on Thomas Street off of Reynolds Road. I believe this location to be Woody's mother's home, based on my conversation with Trish, as mentioned below. To my understanding, this is also where his truck was found on October 8th. That's the day after he was first reported missing. Thomas Street is a gravel lane that backs up to Route 1. And while there are woods off of Thomas Street, I would not describe it as heavily wooded area. There may be heavier wooded areas further away from the lane off of Route 5, which does not offer direct access to Thomas Street. After arriving to our property on Saturday the 30th and seeing a group of people and two state troopers, I found out via a local Milton Facebook group of the search party off Thomas Street, where our property is, and of Woody Dickerson's disappearance. Since we have a property in the area and are there weekly, I made sure to keep up with the Please Bring Woody Home page on Facebook, and when visiting our property, we kept an eye out for him. On Monday, November 1st, this was the, obviously the Monday after the search, they write, "I noticed a man standing up against the side of the home where the search party was conducted a few days earlier. The person looked suspicious, so I took a photo and watched from the window. After watching for a minute or two, I remember reading that Woody had been reportedly wearing blue jeans, a black Nike shirt, black sweatshirt, and black Nikes. Upon second glance, I then realized that this may very well be him, as his outfit and size and build and overall appearance greatly resembled the pictures posted of Woody Dickerson. I also remembered seeing the wife's phone number on Facebook post and decided to look for it to call her. It so happened that she was standing with her mother-in-law right in front of the home. When I called Trish, I explained that I lived on Thomas Street and believed to be looking at her husband at that very moment. This is when she mentioned that she was currently there, standing in front of the home, and she asked where I saw him. I explained to her that if she walked a few feet to the left and looked on the side of the home, she would find him standing there. I heard this is the listener wrote, I heard Trish exclaim, OMG Woody. And she hung up the phone. I then saw her engage with him, but then she began walking toward the backyard and he followed, but walked out of sight behind the home. Trish and her mother-in-law stayed within eyesight for roughly 15 to 20 minutes, actively engaging with who I believed to be Woody, who remained out of sight. After what seemed to be an active conversation, this is crazy, active conversation, including pacing and talking with her hands, Trish then went to her vehicle. Vehicle appears to be a dark-colored Toyota Corolla or Camry with dark-tinted windows. She then pulled her vehicle out of the driveway, through the grass in the front yard, and drove it into the backyard. Only her rear bumper was visible at this point. The vehicle only remained back there for roughly 30 to 45 seconds, and then she pulled out of the backyard and down the lane to leave the area. The mother-in-law then entered her Cherokee SUV and left the lane as well. I could not see if the gentleman entered the vehicle because it was out of sight behind the home. I could also not see into the vehicle as it was passing due to the tinted windows. Directly following this incident, I felt relieved that she found her husband unharmed. However, I saw a post on Facebook on the Please Bring Woody Home page following the November 1st incident described above. Trish posted, quote, almost a month of not seeing you or hearing your voice. I am so lost. Some days are unbearable, but my faith in God is what is and will continue to see me through, unquote. Again, this is the day after this thing happened that was witnessed by the neighbor. Continuing on, while I thought the entire situation was odd and something wasn't quite right, I decided to call the Delaware State Police to report what had happened on November 1st. I gave all the information and pictures to the detective, Crystal Weideman. To me, it was obvious that it was him once she called him by name and Trish and her mother-in-law engaged with him for a while before ultimately leaving the property. Since then, she has continued to post to the page as if he were still missing. The detective took all the information and said they were investigating further. Today I heard back from Detective Weideman that they were still not able to make physical contact with Woody, and Trish was still insisting that she has not had contact with him. Unfortunately, because the police have not been able to make contact, they can't cancel the gold alert, and all this remains under investigation. While I do not doubt he may have been missing prior to November 1st, this person writes, I am confident that Trish had contact with him on Monday, November 1st. While the attached photo is blurry, the man pictured looks very similar to Woody. Bald, beard, clothing matching the description and build. Also, while Trish was still on the phone with me, she referenced him by name prior to ending the call, which confirmed for me that she had found her husband. I sympathize with his family, and I hope that Woody gets help for his depression and alcoholism. However, I feel that this information needed to be reported as Trish is actively on social media insisting that her husband is still missing. She's reached out to news and radio stations to get this story out and also mentions publicly that police are not doing much to find her husband. While I completely understand doing these things when someone is missing, and even prior to her contact with him on November 1st, I'm disturbed that after this contact, he was not transparent with the public and police to let everyone know that he was found alive and well. Attached, you will find the call record with Trisha's phone number listed, and the picture of who I believe to be Woody standing by the home on Thomas Street, and a video of Trish and her mother-in-law standing in the backyard, which I've looked at. And that's the end of the letter. Thank you to this person, Thomas Street neighbor, I guess we'll call this person. Very well done. Very well said. Very odd. But by my view, I would agree with the letter writer. It does look like the dude. And of course, I don't know 100%, but I'm kind of with this person. This person thinks they actually had an active conversation, maybe even saw each other. Trish Dickerson did admit to Rob Petrie that she heard a message from her husband on November 1st. And Rob said, well, why did you say on November 2nd on Facebook that you still haven't heard from him? And that's when she started going after Rob. So I don't know what's going on here. It's quite a mystery, but that's an important update for those who have followed this bit, this mini drama. Here on Delaware 105.9. The Dan Gaffney Program, 302-839-1059. Good morning, it's Dan Gaffney. Hello.
Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
It's going well. Craig in Milford checking in on Monday morning. What's up?
Sir, yes, sir. What a well-written, concise observation on behalf of the Thomas Street neighbor. I mean, top to bottom, it was just very thorough, looked at various angles. It was well-written and well-thought-out. That being said, any of the Dickerson family happens to be listening at this point, I would assert that if those things can be proven on behalf of the neighbor, that they may well want to step forward and say as much as to what may have transpired instead of letting it go, denying, or potentially getting yourself even in deeper if there's anything to get in deeper over, supposing. You know what I mean? Just to be on the level and say as much if, in fact, that's what happened instead
well,
of taking
it. Well, I agree with you, and I am not alleging this, but I will say if you were involved in misleading the police and then going public with criticism of the same police that you were misleading, if that were ever true in some, you're in big trouble. I mean, that ain't
yeah.
good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and to put the brakes on that situation, should that be the truth, and, you know, maybe right. a little more understanding would come your way instead of doing especially if my ex-wife just deny, lie, and no yeah. matter what. You know, they might want to rethink that if that's what's actually going on.
Thanks for your phone call, Craig, and your observations on Delaware 105.9. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan.
Hi.
I just wanted to touch base about that Dickerson story. I was actually one of the people who went on Saturday for the search, and I only knew about it from your station. Uh-huh. I don't know the Dickersons at all.
Right.
I went as a, you know, person who just thought, you know, if I was missing, I would want someone to look for me.
Understood.
And many of us, there were only about... There was myself and another family, Mr. Mixon, and about five state troopers that came out. And we searched one section of woods off of Route 5. What was strange was that we got a phone call after we searched the property from someone in the Dickerson family asking to search another property around the corner. At that point, it was the day before Halloween, and I had kids to get to, so I left. Mm-hmm. But Miss Dickerson did not seem at all distraught during the search or anything like that, or really interested in anybody that was there. So after that, I checked Facebook to see if there had been any updates. And as the writer noted, she posted later after the search that, you know, he was still missing and all of that. But she also posted a really nasty post about the people that came out not caring about her or her husband, and it was all this big conspiracy.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't understand that, the criticisms of people that came out there to volunteer. I didn't get that.
It was it was very hurtful. It was a, you know, Halloween events were happening on Saturday this year. I had two little ones at home. I got up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning for somebody I didn't know. And I just thought to myself, I don't know anyone who would truly be that upset who wouldn't have been grateful for any amount of effort. And I just really felt like there was something else going on. As we got further, I mean, the police were great. They came out, they searched, they went to the other properties, they asked if there was anywhere else anyone wanted to search. I mean, they were in it for the day. And it wouldn't surprise me if what the writer wrote was true. Yeah. I think there's more to this story, and I think it's more about the person who's looking, or quote-unquote looking, than it is the person who's missing.
Right. Listen, you, my listener, did a great thing. You and your family, I'm glad you did it. Glad you volunteered. I would have been there myself if I wasn't in isolation. I was going to come down there, too.
Right.
But all the best to you. Thanks for the phone call. Very interesting info. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
Yes, it adds to the show for sure. Thank you. Delaware 1059, Dan Gaffney, good morning to you.
Hey, what a great caller you just had on, and I agree with her. When I first heard the interview that you did with this woman, a couple things stuck out. Number one, she was very calm. Her story was very measured and detailed. Sure. And one thing you had asked her, when did you see the truck? And she said, oh, well, I was heading to an appointment that morning, glanced over and saw his truck at a family member's house.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's odd. Didn't you go into the and examine the truck and call the police? And she said, it's like she was just heading to her appointment and continued on. This whole thing smells really bad. And, you know, it occurs to me, Munchausen by proxy, where she's looking for this attention and she's told this guy just to stay away. But he slipped back onto the property, and he was seen by the neighbor.
Picture.
And, you know, the details, everything that she's doing, her Facebook, she's starting to crack.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, the police are going to get to the bottom of it, I'm sure, and they probably know a lot more than we even know. But thank you for the call, 727. I'm just trying to be above board, right, and let everybody know the next chapter in an ongoing, you know, the show moves at the speed of live. Developments happen as we're doing them. So we just try to let you know when we know. A Delaware 1059. Good morning. I'm going to play that Rob Petrie report in a second. Hi, good morning, Delaware 1059. Let's take a call.
Hi, good morning.
It's Dan. Hi, good morning.
I have a sincere question, a generic question. Can't a grown person just go walk away? Did the police have to become involved? Even if I wrote a letter, just asking for a friend.
Right.
If I wrote a letter, you know, a maudlin letter, and then wandered off as an adult, where is the crime in that?
Well, there's no crime. What a gold alert is, and this was passed by the legislature, a gold alert is when you have someone who has disappeared or hasn't made contact with you, and there's a real concern for their health and welfare. So in this case, if you're mentally ill and have left a note that you may do harm to yourself, then there's a real concern for your health and well-being, right?
What is the realisticness of?
And so they, well, what they do?
Will it be a manhunt for one person?
No, hold on. Well, so what the police do is they determine that the criteria fits what the law is for gold alert, and what they do is they put out a gold alert if you've seen this person, and they put their picture up, and they determine that they're a gold alert, and then when they find them, or the person comes walking back home, or they hear from them again, then they end the gold alert. And that's usually the end of it. Now, this particular gold alert was issued on October 7th, I believe. And it was 3 weeks later, the wife, Trish, wanted more stuff to be happening. She was critical of the
boy. Right. What does she expect them to possibly do?
Right.
You know, if a grown-up goes away and doesn't want to be found, what does she, and then for her to say that the police didn't do enough, what exactly does she expect them to do?
And then, I'll just say it straight up, people find out that there's a woods near where she found, you know, that he might be in or whatever. So they go on their own, volunteer to go look to help the lady out. And she starts criticizing him on Facebook. So the whole thing turns out to be really weird.
Right, and then he pops up, but does the Disney, oh my goodness. It's a great story. It's fantastic. But it's just overall, you know, if a grown-up wants to wander off, what is it any of us are going to do to stop them?
I don't understand what's going on here with this whole thing. It's just very bizarre. It's
fascinating.
It is fascinating, but you do hope that...
Maybe he's in the attic, like Arrested Development.
What happened in Arrested Development? Somebody was hiding in the
attic. He hid in the attic. Oh.
And what, they pretended he wasn't there or something?
Oh, hilarious. Sudden Valley, they had a development. The father was also developing, I guess, in Iraq, the same house that they lived in. They lived in the model home when no one was there. And then the father was hiding out from the government, and he was in the attic the whole time, Jeffrey Tambor. Pretty funny until the end season, but hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
Hiding in the attic, wearing his son's ex-wife's clothes, ordered a hot tub to make boiling bags to eat.
Unbelievable. Arrested Development. Okay. Listen.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Here's how Rob Petrie, gotta love Rob Petrie over there at TV Delmarva, okay? This is totally them. This is totally TV Delmarva. But Rob did a report, I think on Friday, because he got the same email I got with a picture of what looks like Woody Dickerson in a video of people talking to him behind the house. And anyway, I'm not gonna pause this to do commentary like I did last time. I'll just let you hear it. At least I don't plan to pause. I may go back on that promise. But anyway, here it is. Point your antenna towards Seaford, TV Delmarva.
Good day, Delmarva. Reporter Rob Petrie here with your Sussex County news update. A new shocking revelation has emerged in the case of a missing Lewis man, Woody Dickerson.
Right.
On November 1st, a neighbor of a relative of Dickerson's claims to have...
I can't stand it. He's now going to reference the same letter that I read in its entirety this morning.
Spotted him and shared with us the following image that appears to show Woody standing up against the house near where he is.
Now, it does look like the guy that's missing. I'm telling you, I have to agree.
Believed to have went missing. Now, the concerned citizen then reportedly called his wife, Trish, who for weeks has been calling on police and the public to help find her husband. In an email, the neighbor said, quote, upon second glance, I then realized that this may very well be him, as his outfit, size, build, and overall appearance greatly resembled the pictures posted of Woody Dickerson. I also remembered seeing the wife's phone number on a Facebook post and decided to look for it to call her. It so happened that she was standing with her mother-in-law right in the front of the home. When I called Trish, I explained that I lived on Thomas Street and believed to be looking at her husband at that very moment. This is when she mentioned that she was currently there standing in front of the home, and she asked where I saw him. I explained to her that if she walked a few feet to the left and looked on the side of the home, she would find him standing there. I then heard Trish exclaim, oh my gosh, Woody, and then she hung up the phone.
This is all on November 1st, right? Okay.
Engage with him, but then she began walking towards the backyard, and he followed but walked out of sight behind the home. Now, we questioned the wife about the claims, to which she admitted that she did, in fact, make contact with her husband that day, saying, quote, well, I received a call on that Monday, nothing since. Said he was leaving this world and wanted to say his final goodbyes.
Now, Rob's got the receipts. He posts a screenshot of Trish Dickerson's text to him. I received a call on that. She's admitting to getting a call from him on Monday the 1st. At least. Now, the neighbor thinks there was more than a call, that they talked and saw each other. But at least she's admitting to Rob that on the 1st, she got a call from him. This is weeks after the gold alert. This is just 2 weeks ago. Why is that significant? Well, listen on.
I am devastated because I still can't find him. Now, surprisingly, the very next day on November 2nd, yes, Trish posted on social media that she had not had any contact with her husband, saying, quote, almost a month of not seeing or hearing your voice. I am so lost. Some days are unbearable. Now, when we...
Right. You just admitted to the reporter that you heard from him on the 1st. On the 2nd, you're posting publicly you haven't heard his voice. Which is it? Back up. Rob apparently asked her to explain this contradiction. Here we go. Let's go back. See, I knew I couldn't stop pausing. Here we go. Here we go.
And quote, almost a month of not seeing or hearing your voice. I am so lost. Some days are unbearable. Mm. Now, when we questioned her about this, she got defensive, saying, yes, quote, met in person, in conversation. I did not speak with him that Monday. Didn't realize I was being stalked, and I am telling the truth. As of this time.
She started calling the reporter, Rob Petrie, like stalking her. She's the one who sent emails wanting media attention. It's also strange.
The Gold Alert has not been canceled, right, and Woody Dickerson is still considered missing. This is Bangor Sussex County News Update. I'm Rob Petrie.
That's on TV Delmarva. Thank you, TV Delmarva, for the use of your great reports. TV Delmarva. All right. Rob is... never ceases to get a reaction out of me. I love it. All right, Monday morning.